sun peeks out, I sit outside to bask in my tiny bit of a light to warm the cold that I feel inside.
Hi everyone, I'm Nicole and you're listening to All Access Pass, a show brought to you by the Accessibility Collective at CITR 101.9 FM. We are broadcasting live from the traditional, ancestral, and unceded land of the Musqueam people. You were just listening to Seasonal Depression by MMXTune. I think that's how you pronounce it. I'm not entirely sure. I feel like I've seen so many TikToks being like, this is how you pronounce it, and I just never learned my lesson. So this song was suggested by one of our collective members, Maria. It's about the artist's experiences with seasonal affective depression, or more commonly known as SAD. What a fitting acronym. So today's episode is a little bit of a hodgepodge. We're going to be talking about UBC's mental health services that are offered, and we have some guests that we will be interviewing today about their experiences. And then we'll be chit-chatting about what we think about what UBC gets right and what they can work on. Before we get into all of that, I'd like to introduce all of you to one of our collective members. This is Azade.
Hi guys, this is Azade. So good to meet everybody.
So you're a student at UBC, right?
Yes.
Fourth year,
psychology and anthropology double major.
Oh my gosh. Actually, one of our guests on later is an anthropology student. It's so exciting.
Oh my god.
Yeah, how are you liking UBC?
UBC is great.
You're excited to be out?
I'm actually doing 5 years.
So, oh my gosh.
You know, I have another year to go, which I'm pretty excited about because I'm so scared of the real world, not gonna lie.
Oh, that's so fair. I'm always like, what if I just did a master's and then like tacked on a PhD to avoid making real life choices?
Yeah, dude. No, that's literally the plan. I'm like, I'm gonna graduate, then I'm gonna do my master's, maybe another master's on top of that.
Yeah, totally fair. I feel you there. Making those real life decisions is really stressful. I want to talk to you about why did you join the Accessibility Collective?
So why did I join? Great question. Honestly, as a psychology major, to me, mental health is important, but mental health is really important. And just like aside from that, I feel like knowing that everything affects us so differently and knowing that we're all different people and we have different needs, and based on that, like accessing different things and just asking for help, you know, is so important. And honestly, I joined because I feel it's so important, not just as students but as people, to have all of our needs met and to ensure that, you know, we as a community are working towards that. Like, accessibility is such an important part of being a student, and asking for help is so important, and just like seeking out those resources, because again, a lot of us come from such diverse backgrounds and all of us have varying needs and abilities, and we all deserve equal access, essentially.
That was such a beautifully worded answer. Thank you so much. Do you have any cool hobbies at UBC? Any fun, or just hobbies in general? A little bit
hobbies
about yourself?
Hobbies in general. Not gonna lie, these days all I do is watch TikTok, which is not really a hobby. I used to write for the UBC.
Oh my god.
More so last year, which was super fun. Like, a little, dipping my little toe in journalism.
That's so cool. I've been super interested in working with them. Okay, now to the meat and bones of today's episode. So UBC claims that they offer plentiful mental health services. So let's say that I am like a hypothetical theoretical person who is interested in accessing mental health services at UBC. So my options are, there are a lot of options online. I won't lie, it's pretty overwhelming.
It's so overwhelming. Like, sometimes I'm like, okay, what are my options? And there's so many things.
And you
I'm
like, don't what? Know which one gets you to the path that you actually want to be. Like, yeah. What if I just wanted a therapist? Like, there's like 3 different ways you can get about going to that place. One of those options is to drop by the Wellness Center in the UBC Life Building, which opens most weekdays at 11, and closes Monday, Wednesday, Friday at 4, Tuesdays, Thursdays at 6. So that's actually a peer-hosted space.
Okay.
So they don't, I believe, offer professional help. They offer more kind of just like mental wellness. So they offer a lot of well-being programs for students. There's a lot of workshops on like meditation and like how to balance your lifestyle and et cetera, et cetera. So that's a cool one in the life building. And that's
honestly, yeah, I feel like all of that is so important. Just like learning how to manage day-to-day stressors is so important too.
Yeah, for shizzle. I definitely am not amazing at like taking breaks, but that's a whole other can of worms. There is the UBC Student Assistance Program, which is offered by Aspiria. So that's a 24/7 wellness resource for students. And they offer a lot of different services, actually. So personal counseling, life coaching, group programs. And they focus, like, really just on the generals, like, kind of like the previous group, the Drop-By Wellness Center. They focus on student life, finance advice, health and wellness. So it's more of, like, a maintenance thing.
Yeah. I've actually seeked out that resource before. Yeah,
how'd you feel about it?
It was okay. Like last summer, was it? I don't know. I just ended up getting so overwhelmed by life, and yeah. I was like, I am gonna seek out help finally.
Oh my gosh, good for you.
I don't know, I just had these like mindfulness sessions, which yeah. were like, they were interesting. Uh-huh. I feel like maybe I needed a bit more at yeah. that time. Or maybe our schedules just didn't match up and I ended up just, like, ghosting after two sessions. But it was good, I guess.
Okay, so it offered you something, but not everything you needed.
Yeah.
Okay. And then there's the UBC Student Recovery Office. So that one is specific for students in recovery or looking to explore their relationships with substances or addictive behaviors. So you can join recovery meetings. Those are group meetings. And they also provide you with, like, opportunities to seek further help outside of UBC, and that's, I feel like, a pretty good service. I don't know anyone personally who's gone to that, but I'm really interested in the quality of help they offer. And then there's SV Pro, the Sexual Violence Prevention and Response Office. So that one is a pretty tightly run organization.
Mm-hmm.
So you can arrange, you can do a lot of stuff through them. You can arrange academic concession, coordinate workplace accommodations. They support you through reporting options. They'll even like attend the hospital, police, or court with you.
Yeah.
So that one, they really, I feel like, I mean, I've had some personal experiences with SV Pro, and I personally feel like they really hit the mark and like did their job beautifully and sensitively. So SV Pro is at least Nicole approved. I don't know if that matters, but it's, I thought that service was very well done. And then here's like what's going to be real controversial today. I feel, who knows, maybe I'll be pleasantly surprised. Seeking therapy through UBC. So you do that by what I believe all signs point to, the wellness advising appointment. Okay. Which I feel like is so, like, I just feel like wellness is just so overused as a word. Just call it what it is. Call it therapy.
Yeah, what does wellness even mean?
Yeah, I feel like wellness could be, like, nutrition.
Yeah.
Regular exercise, but it's, like,
it's so, like, they're sugarcoating mental health.
Yeah. Mental illness is not a bad word.
Exactly.
But anyways, so you go online, you search up UBC Wellness Advising Appointment, which is so, like, just not intuitive, I feel, but whatever. And then you call or walk in. I am doing air quotes around walk in for 45-minute appointments, and I use air quotes because I feel like that as a concept never works. Walk-in appointments for something as touchy as mental health and, like, needing professional help, I feel like walk-ins, I just feel like they don't come to fruition, and I can't quite pinpoint why.
Yeah, because, like, how do you just, one day you're like, oh, no, I'm in crisis. Let me just walk in and then expect to receive proper, sensitive care, like, for what you're going through right now.
I also feel like there aren't enough resources ready for
definitely.
That.
Definitely.
Like, there aren't enough psychologists or, like, counselors or people that are trained to do that just, like, ready on site, you know?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
So, yeah, that's something I'm really interested in exploring. So the wellness advisors are registered clinical counselors, and they offer same day, once again, like, quote unquote, offer same day 45-minute counseling, but not ongoing therapy, which is
honestly, like, what are you gonna do with one?
I think the whole point is that they're kind of a segue into, like, oh, okay, well, we're getting you the steps that you need, and you've got to, like, go somewhere else for longer term care. So it's kind of just like a pathway. But yeah. I feel like that pathway at UBC with UBC Mental Health Services specifically is muddy.
Definitely. I feel like it needs more because as a student, we're already going through a lot. Like we have so much on our plates already. I don't know. I just feel like, yeah, we should definitely seek out more help. But one appointment and then you have to once again go and, you know, do your research and find more things.
Yeah.
I feel like it would be better if it was like a more smooth process.
Honestly, feels like a wild goose chase.
Yeah.
To hunt down services at UBC.
No, definitely.
Like I've made so many phone calls during that process. Yeah.
How many phone calls can we make?
How many emails can I write? Anyways, so these are kind of your options if you're looking for help at UBC. I listed them all. There are some that I am a big fan of, SV Pro. I'm interested in the UBC Student Recovery Office. And then there's the Wellness Advising Appointment, which we will get into some personal accounts right after this ad break.
CITR is powered by Guayaki Yerba Mate. Yerba Mate is a naturally caffeinated drink that comes in a variety of formats, from loose leaf to cans to bottles. Yes, the yellow ones. Guayaki Mate is all organic, non-GMO, and sure to make you come to life. Guayaki is more than just a Yerba Mate brand. They're focused on personal, social, ecological, and cultural growth through their commitment to regenerative practices, which includes stewarding the South Atlantic rainforest and partnering with indigenous South American communities through the production of Yerba Mate. Visit guayaki.com, G-U-A-Y-A-K-I.com, to learn more and find this delicious drink near you. Or stop by CITR Station on UBC campus for a free Yerba Mate can.
Do you want to change the state of the world, but instead you keep buying material goods to satisfy whatever desire you have in that very moment? Me too. But now you can do both! Rock Shop and Community Thrift is a local vintage shop that fulfills your 1970s alt-chic fantasy while also supporting at-risk people through their compassionate and supportive work training program. All of their profits go to the PHS Community Services Society to support ongoing healthcare, harm reduction, and health promotion projects in Vancouver and Victoria. So stop by their two locations, Community Unisex on West Hastings or Community Frock Shop on Corral Street. And if you know any other local businesses that deserve recognition for their generous business practices or their contributions to the community, please DM us on Instagram at CITR and Discorder because we would love to spotlight them. Because hey, if you can't stop buying, you might as well start supporting.
Hi, welcome back. I'm Nicole and you're listening to All Access Pass brought to you by CITR 101.9 FM. So I've got some guests. I've got some fun guests. I've got Kendra. Kendra, say hi.
Hi.
And I've got Bria. Bria, say hi.
Hello.
So my relationship with these particular guests is Kendra is a dear friend of mine, and Bria is Kendra's friend, and any friend of Kendra's is a friend of mine. All right. So, yeah. So, Kendra, I know you're studying anthropology with a minor in archaeology. Bria, what are you studying?
I'm in biology.
Oh, my gosh. We have a smart cookie in the house.
I don't know about that, but...
Can you forage mushrooms with me?
Probably not, because they all kind of look the same to me, but maybe connect you with someone.
Oh, my gosh. You've got a mushroom connect?
I do.
A foraging connect?
I do.
Beautiful. Perfect.
Forager on speed dial.
So you're both in third year?
Yeah.
Okay. Beautiful. How are you liking anthropology, Kendra?
Loving it.
I can already answer that. You love it, yeah.
Doing
yeah.
lots of things.
Yeah, you're working in like how many labs now?
Yeah, here and there between a couple ones.
Oh my gosh.
None of them paid yet, but
wait, what about your work learn?
My work learn's in the paleontology collection, so that's actually employment through Earth and Ocean Sciences.
Okay, I see.
Yeah, I'm currently a project assistant with the Center for Excellence in Indigenous Health, which is pretty cool, getting to work in the public health sector, which is, yeah.
Yeah, I feel like that's a real behind-the-scenes moment.
Yeah, kind of, a little bit.
Yeah, so, okay, we're going to be talking about your experiences today with UBC Mental Health. Can you tell us a little bit about why you chose to pursue UBC Mental Health Services? in whatever detail you feel comfortable with.
So my first step with UBC Mental Health was going through to try and get an ADHD diagnosis, because I realized I was consistent with all the symptoms. And that whole process through UBC, it was nice that it was covered, but it took about 4 months, and I'm still not done it yet. Because in March, I finally got a confirmation from the doctor there at UBC. I think they only have like four mental health or a very little amount of people who can actually assist with ADHD diagnosis on campus.
For all of UBC.
Yeah, for all of UBC.
I feel like there's a lot of people with ADHD on campus.
Yeah, and a huge backlog, and COVID had a lot of people realizing, especially with online classes, that their attention span was, you know, not standard. I'm still waiting on the doctor now, you know, months later, to try and figure out stimulants and stuff like that.
So long, how long have you been waiting? Oh gosh, she's counting on her hands.
Like 7 months.
Oh my gosh, 7 months.
Yeah.
I could be like almost ready to have a child in that time.
I know.
That's like my go-to measurement.
No,
of like
actually,
measuring time.
For real. I'm like 9 months, word, baby.
Bria, how about you?
Well, I've had a pretty like long journey with my mental health, mm-hmm. like starting all the way back into grade school. After coming to university, of course, we also, or at least me and Kendra, I don't know what year you guys are in, but with that COVID year, I realized, as Kendra said, I can't pay attention, and turns out I was actually going about school with an undiagnosed learning disability, so after my first year, I decided to pursue counseling with UBC just because of convenience, because a lot of the privatized health, like, mental health resources are just like too expensive.
Astronomical. It's like insane.
I don't know why a 30-minute session is going to cost me $900 when they literally just tell me, oh, I think you are a little stressed. Like, that's a bit obnoxious, not gonna lie.
For shizzle, I think the like going rate, the standard flat rate for psychologists, at least in BC, I want to say it starts at like 325 or like a number around 300.
That's crazy.
Which is
that's like food.
That's like
that's a lot of money.
Yeah, that's like, I don't know, X months of prenatal vitamins. Anyway,
stay on big trend.
Kendra, you talked to us about how it's just been like a really long-winded process about getting a hold of services. What else can you tell us about what it's like to get a hold of these services?
Oh, my other difficulty, like Bria kind of mentioned how, you know, income is a bit of a barrier for seeing mental health specialists. I also looked in because I realized, and coming into university, maybe I should deal with some of that childhood trauma a bit.
Yeah. Apparently it doesn't start to fully resurface until you're 25 or something like that.
Yeah,
so get
good.
Ready.
I realize what's wrong
with
you.
Gonna have to buckle
awesome.
In.
So I went through UBC because I think, honestly, it was probably Bria who recommended you could get 6 sessions.
Right.
Through UBC.
Right.
And I, you know, pretty explicitly listed what I had going on in my head.
Yeah.
And they paired me with counseling in Vancouver. That wasn't through the school, but
okay.
It was in Vancouver.
All right.
And that was pretty quick. But when I talked to this counselor, she basically was like, I can't help you with your issues.
Oh, well.
So, you know, or she wanted to make things more of a, you know, I got in a fight with Bria this week, and I need your help to fix it kind of thing, when that, you know, issues
okay.
are a lot deeper than that.
How much do you feel was it like maybe it wasn't a good match for what you needed versus like UBC just put you with the wrong service?
I don't know.
You don't know?
Honestly, and I know it's so personal trying to find the right therapist or counselor.
Such a long
psychiatrist
journey.
And there's not enough psychiatrists too.
Yeah.
That matches with you. But I just felt like it was a moment of not listening, because I was so upfront right off the bat about, you know, XYZ reasons that I need someone, and then those
XYZ
reasons were too much.
We're Canadians.
I spent half my time in the States growing up.
Oh,
sorry.
My God. We're broadcasting live from Canada, by the way. That's another thing I think about a lot, is so much of therapy is finding the right fit for you. And when you have 6 sessions, what if you need all 6 sessions to find the right fit, and then you're just screwed after that? And you just gotta wait till the next year. Then what?
And then you're trying to space that out, like, okay, every 2 months I get a 1 hour session.
Yeah.
That's a lot of things to cover.
Yeah. Here's a 2 month recap on my life.
I'll have to do like a slideshow.
Oh my gosh. That seems like a pretty efficient system.
Instead of slideshow nights, it's actually just like updating your therapist instead.
Recent trauma nights.
Just what happened? Let me give you an update.
Bria, how did you feel about the process of getting a service?
Luckily, I'm an Indigenous student, so UBC Counseling Services has Indigenous-specific counselors,
okay.
And I think there's three, but the one that I was seeing, she unfortunately, or I guess fortunately, she got a cool job.
Good for her.
Yeah,
sucks
leveling
for
up.
You.
Exactly. So you can go see a counselor that is Indigenous specific, knows all of like trauma-informed care and stuff like that. And I think when I first started going, it was a pretty short wait. But when times pick up, I know that a few of my other Indigenous peers, they were waiting up to 3 weeks, and that's like pretty long. But then with the non-Indigenous counseling services, I've heard of students waiting for like months, like 3 months plus just for a counselor. And it's like, it's kind of tricky when you're experiencing such high amounts of stress. You kind of want like an immediate fix and like an immediate like kind of person to talk to. It's like, how are we supposed to do that when we have to wait so long for that, like just one initial chat too?
Yeah.
Just being like, here's where I'm at, you know?
It's great that you have Indigenous specific services. Mm-hmm. I wonder if there's any other specific services.
I think to my knowledge, that's it. That's it, maybe. Like, there's definitely like other external resources, not through UBC, but it's pretty nice.
Kendra, you did not enjoy your experience with your counselor.
No, I did not.
And you are still pursuing seeking a doctor for ADHD.
Yeah.
So you're kind of just at a standstill right now.
It's a bit of a standstill moment. Well, I mean, the therapy, the part of that's on me because when I have like a bad experience, I get pretty defensive.
I don't know, girl. I think that but also like you weren't in a space where you felt safe. And, it's so much emotional energy to go find a new therapist.
The whole getting back on the horse thing.
Yeah, it's like dating, you know? You get knocked down a few pegs, and then you're like, oh, gosh, got to get back on this horse. But I'm so scared because I put myself out there, and it wasn't what I needed. So,
Actually, the ADHD thing, I recently called the hospital to follow up, and they did not call me back, and that was 2 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. So, it's pretty brutal.
Yeah. Okay, well, I guess it's safe to say your experiences with the service have been less than ideal.
Yeah.
Bria, I guess you miss your therapist dearly, your counselor.
Yeah. Like, I'm lucky enough. Oh, my gosh. I'm Bria's favorite word of the day, lucky, apparently. I've had a good experience, but it's just because, I don't know. I find that UBC counseling, like, just from everyone else's experiences that I've heard of and, like, partially my own, it's just, like, super inaccessible, and it's, like, it's on you to go out of your way to find your own therapist.
I feel like that's a really good way of phrasing it.
Yeah. Like, in Kendra's case, like, she's a busy girl. She has, you know, all of her anthro classes and work and all this stuff. It's, like, when she needs a therapist and she did, like, not good match with the one that she had, it's, like, then she's going to have to restart this whole process all over again. And then, you know, a month and a half is going to pass, and she's going to get a new therapist, and then, you know, they're not going to want to do it, or if it is a good match, yeehaw, but
this whole match thing reminds me of those dystopian teenage movies where they're like, you've been matched to this, like, faction. I think I'm talking about Divergent right now.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
It's what makes me think of those, those TikTok series.
Yeah.
Real.
This is specific and niche only to a very very specific generation. Anyways, listeners, are you still using services at UBC, Bria?
I still access a psychiatrist weekly or at least regularly. But I know that there's like a lot of, and even then to access a psychiatrist through student health
is like hard.
I was waiting for, I think, 3 months, and like you have to say some pretty concerning things to get priority on that list. And I remember they called me, I think it was like the day before Christmas Eve, and it was like a very odd time in the day, and they left me a message, and I had just like listened to it right when they left it, and so I called them back. But like later on they were like, if you didn't call back like immediately, we had someone like to take it. And like, yeah, I don't know, it's crazy.
It's so true about that, like you need to say something like so red flaggy for them to listen.
Yeah,
because the questions are all like, or at least for when I was going into it, it was all within the last 2 weeks they wanted to know.
Yeah.
So if 3 weeks ago you thought about doing something terrible to yourself, whatever, it wasn't the last 2 weeks, so we're not going to talk about now.
You've got X amount of days.
Yeah.
There's like a statute of limitations with your mental health.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think it's really, one thing that is really standing out to me is this like wait time situation.
Yeah.
And like, because like, I don't know, like mental health, once it starts to decline, it really declines. When it rains, it pours. And like,
slippery slope.
You know what they say about those slippery slopes? I don't. But like 3 months, like what if I've just figured out my stuff by then, and then they call me back and they're like, hey girl, and I'm like, actually I'm fine. And then a month later I've just started spiraling again because I've been using band-aids and like patching up the issue versus like actually working through it.
Yeah.
And I think another thing that I think about a lot is like, I'm not here to bash the people that work for UBC Mental Health Services, because I genuinely do think they're trying their best, but I am gonna look at UBC as a whole and ask for more funding, for more consideration, for more organization, for just like better administration to like actually start caring. Because I feel like they're always like, oh, reach out, but it's like, okay, I reached out, and this process like makes me not want to reach out.
Yeah, UBC's at the top levels is a lot of talk, and it also makes me think of, you know, the food insecurity on campus going on, where immediately they cut funding for accessible food for students, and then the next day post about Sprouts.
Lol.
Being like, look at how wonderful we're doing.
Lol.
Like, this is ridiculous.
I mean, that's a whole other, that's my favorite phrase, by the way, the whole other can of worms, all other can of beans.
Yeah.
But I, like, definitely also, like, raised an eyebrow when they were like, every child matters. And then, like, four posts up, it was like,
And all these things also feed in. Like, everything is so interconnected.
Yeah.
Like, you can't just look at one aspect of these things. Like,
no.
The whole student body needs support here.
It's so layered. Absolutely. I remember there was an AMS candidate. I think he was running for treasurer. I believe his name is Richard. I think I remember that because he was handing out candy in one of my classes. I really couldn't tell you. Anyways, but he was, one of his campaign goals was to increase funding or allocate more funding towards mental health resources. And here are my thoughts on that. I think that it's going to take so much money and so much, like, so many more people and so many more bodies that it's not just like, we'll allocate an extra, like, 20 grand towards this thing. It's, like, it's a whole systemic operational shift, I feel like, to actually push for better mental health and services at UBC. Mm-hmm. It's not just, like, throw some money in the bank.
Yeah. One thing I was, as me and Kendra were prepping, chatting about our little chat today, one thing that I had thought about was, like, the amount of counselors that the counseling service, like, actually has. UBC is comprised of, like, over 66,000 students.
Yeah.
And the amount of counselors they have is, like, insufficient in, like, every sense of the word. Because, like, one in five people will, like, we've all heard that statistic of, like, one in five people have mental health issues or, like, have diagnosed.
Or, like, are just stressed out.
Yeah.
Or, like, our first year is missing home and want to talk to someone about this massive shift in their life.
Yeah, like, you don't have to have mental health issues or mental illness
to seek mental health services. Absolutely.
Exactly.
I agree.
It's just, like, how are these five, I don't know how many of them are.
Well, there's, like, four
there.
Doctors for ADHD specifically that we know of.
Yeah, and, like, just that they have, like, three Indigenous-specific counselors, can't mention off the top of my head how many Indigenous students are in the institution, but, like, I don't
know. The numbers are sparing.
Yeah.
I remember when I went to SV Pro, and they were like, what do you need? And I was like, I think a female counselor that can specifically talk to me about sexual assault. Mm-hmm. And I remember going, and I was referred to the wellness services to see a counselor, and I really did not know what to expect, just because, like, I, like, didn't know if this was going to be, like, a long-term thing, but I just knew that I was going to go talk to someone about sexual assault and my experience, and, like, someone, like, a mental health professional that specialized in that. And I got there, and the person I got was, surprise, surprise, did not specialize in sexual assault.
Oh, I thought you were going to say it was a man.
I think that would have been such a slap in the face. Yeah. I think I would have just, like, fell on the floor and melted into the ground, like, yeah, on the spot. No, she was actually a lovely counselor. I really liked her. She didn't specialize in sexual assault, and it's kind of like what Kendra talked about. Like, Kendra, I feel like you had more specific issues in mind that you want to talk about, and the services you were given did not pertain to those. I was in a very similar boat. I felt almost kind of like, oh, we're trying to, like, quick fix you and get you out the door kind of situation. Mm-hmm. And it was like, oh, but I want to talk about this one really specific experience that really changed a lot of things for me. And we're kind of just talking about coping mechanisms for my day-to-day life. And, like, honestly, that entire time in my life was a real whirlwind and a blur. But, like, I also remember her talking about, like, accessing further services. Because, like, we spoke about in the first little bit, pre-ad break, they're not a permanent service, the wellness. I'm not super well-versed. And if they do offer long-term services at UBC, I don't think they do.
I think, from my understanding, I know Indigenous students do get unlimited sessions, but then after the 6 sessions, I think that's when, like, the AMS health and dental coverage would kick in.
Yeah.
And then you get, like, a kind of, like, lessened fee with that, I think.
Okay.
But, yeah, I think they do start charging after 6. If you want to see, like, the UBC-specific counselor.
Yeah. I remember the person I talked to was like, okay, well, we're going to try to transition you into longer-term help. And I was like, what? Mm-hmm. What do you mean this wasn't the long-term help?
And also, like, a lot of...
I've been seeing you for 3 sessions.
Yeah. A lot of people struggle with, like, continuity, too. Yeah. Like, they have a hard time opening up to people, and, like, you'll need at least 3 sessions to, you know, just to begin even trusting, touching the surface of... like, any sort of life experience, so.
Yeah, like, I can't just go in and, like, talk to a virtual stranger. And, like, I don't know, some people operate that way.
Yeah.
But I can't just go in and, like, bare my soul. Like, I'll talk about it, but I won't be vulnerable. I'll be open, but not vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
Even baring my soul, I don't know if I have time within a 1-hour session to also communicate, figure out if this therapist is good enough for me to spend one of my 6 paid sessions with.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Goodness gracious.
Huh. So many little barriers.
these little walls to jump over like sheep.
Yeah.
Just like sheep.
Just like sheep. We're all just sheep at UBC. Oh my gosh, that is too much. That is too much for this show. But yeah, and then I actually have an outside therapist that I've been seeing for a while.
Mm-hmm.
I love my therapist. I respect him deeply. He's just also a man. And I don't feel super comfortable talking to him about my experiences with SA. And basically the counselor I was with at UBC was like, okay, so because you already have a therapist, we can't see you because this is a conflict of interest. And I was like, what? And she was like, so you are already accessing services, and any services that I would offer you might conflict with what you are being told by your other therapist. And I was like, no, I don't think you understand. I go to my therapist for my other mental illness issues, and I come to you for my sexual assault-specific issues. And she was just like, I hear you, it's still an issue, and then I was discharged. And that was kind of just that. And I was like, I guess I'm just like an amoeba in a pond, you know? Like, out here just trying to navigate this, like, absolute hellscape that is UBC Mental Health Services. And, like, it was just such a roller coaster to go from SV Pro, which I really, they, like, once again, I think they did an amazing job. They provided me with so much support, but they were like, we will refer you to an actual mental health professional who specializes in this, which, as I just kind of talked about, was not that. So, yeah, I don't know. Like, it's this whole, there's, like, not enough money to see a counselor. The process of finding a counselor that matches with you is so exhausting, murky, and, like, not guaranteed. That's another thing, but I feel like that's a general issue, not just a UBC issue. It's, like, finding a counselor that matches with you.
Yeah, I feel like, that's on a little hick there. I feel like. But, like, even across Canada, trying to find, like, specifically a psychiatrist is almost impossible.
Oh, yeah. My psychiatrist actually just let me go. And I was like, okay, well,
yeah,
peace, brother.
Well, you know, my mom unfortunately suffers with PTSD, and it took her having to go to the psych ward,
you know,
like, being kind of a flight risk in order for them to finally give her the services that she needed.
This reminds me of something I was talking about in one of my classes today. So we were talking, I'm in an ethics of science class, and, like, follow me with this. It's going to be a long-winded metaphor, or analogy, that's the word. But we were talking about acid rain and, like, a natural disaster and how, like, basically the states was like, oh, we're not gonna touch it, you know? We don't know what it does yet. They did. They fully knew that sulfur emissions resulted in acid rain and it was bad for the environment. But they were like, we don't know about it. We're just going to leave it. And this one scientist was like, I feel like in the past, traditionally, the way to go about dealing with natural disasters is to attack them after they've done the worst damage rather than before. And I feel like it's a very similar thing with mental health. Like, why does it have to get to a point where we are, like, at wit's end? Why can't, like, we access the services at full force months before?
Yeah.
And I feel like it's because there's such a massive backlog at UBC. I mean, like, probably a lot of post-secondary institutions, but at UBC, like, it's a 3-month wait, and finding a counselor is hard, and you only get 6 sessions, and there's so many barriers here that aren't conducive with accessing proper mental health services. Anyways, that's kind of where we're at with that one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Bummer.
Oh, well.
We're going to go to ad break right now, but thank you so much to Bria and Kendra and myself, I guess, a little self-promo right there, for sharing our experiences. We'll see you in a little bit.
You are tuned into 101.9 FM at CITR Radio. I'm Pleo Skivinsky, and I'm the Indigenous Collective Lead here at CITR. I am coming to you over the radio waves to let you know that Unseated Airwaves is back on the air and stronger than ever. We are centering Indigenous joy, brilliance, and current issues on our episode. Unseated Airwaves broadcasts on Thursday evenings at 7 to 9 p.m. and replays on the following Monday at 4 p.m. to 5 p.m.
Ultimate battle of the bands. The best from Vancouver's musicians come together to show their talents, starting with 16 bands and one final winner.
Quarterfinals on November 1st, 5th, 18th, and 22nd, with the finale on December 2nd at the Redgate Art Society. Be there or like be square.
Prepare Shindig.
Baby, the world, Bionic. Have you ever wanted to try out DJing? Do you like karaoke? What about just hanging out? Well, lucky for you, we have just the event. The Vancouver Black Library is having an event at the Hatch Art Gallery, which is located in the AMS Nest. With open decks for people to try out DJing, there will be karaoke if you want to show off your skills, and there will also be snacks. This event is happening November 10th from 6 to 10:30 p.m. Entry is by donation, and everyone is welcome. If you want to find out more information about the Vancouver Black Library or this event, you can go to their Instagram page at Van Black Library.
Hi, welcome back. I'm Nicole, and you're listening to All Access Pass, brought to you by CITR 101.9 FM. So we just heard from Kendra and Bria about their experiences with UBC Mental Health Services. And I am back with my lovely collective member, Azada.
Azade.
Azade, oh my god. I'm a terrible person.
No, Azade.
That is such a beautiful name, by the way.
Azade. It means freedom.
Wow, my name means victory.
Wow, it goes hand in hand.
Look at us. Girl boss. All right, UBC Mental Health Services. I talked a little bit about mine, too. It was, I don't think it, like, was devastating, but it was definitely just, like, super confusing.
Yeah, could be better. Could be better for sure.
Could be better. So let's chit-chat a little bit about, like, what UBC services do right. I think SV Pro is an amazing service, and I think they deserve all the love in the world. I just think that they ran a really tight ship. They offer a lot of really amazing resources. The specific person that I talked to was very patient and understanding and consistently reached out to me, understanding that it was a very difficult time in my life, and I may not be the most proactive at reaching out myself. So for me personally, it was super helpful for them to, like, not necessarily be hounding me, but just, like, be someone who was checking in on me often.
Yeah.
So SV Pro, I'm a fan of.
SV Pro. We like SV Pro.
We do like SV Pro in this house, at least. Another thing they do right, I don't think the counselors at UBC are bad. I think they're all licensed. I think they're great people, and I think they're good at their job. I think there's a difference between a bad therapist and not finding a good match, though. And that's something we'll get into. But I think there are good counselors.
Yeah, no, they're definitely good. I feel like that, and they're probably kind of overworked. I feel like UBC really needs to spend more money in getting more therapists.
Absolutely. Yeah, definitely really good therapists. I'm a fan of all the work they do. What are some things that they can work on?
Honestly, for me, I think earlier, prior to this, I guess, prior to the ad break, I think it was Bria who was talking about how important it is as an Indigenous person to have, like, an Indigenous therapist so that they can, you know, give her some trauma-informed care. So I feel like in that regard, I just remembered, too little too late, that I have accessed the Wellness Center for that little 45-minute therapy session. And I feel like one thing that they could do better is more POC therapists.
Ooh, that's sure. A good one.
Because I'm an international. I'm from Pakistan.
Whoa.
And I don't know. When I spoke, it was some, I don't know if it was a white guy. I feel like it was a white guy. It sounded like it was a white guy. It was definitely a white guy. And just talking to him, I felt like there was such a disconnect. Like, I was talking about my issues and he just didn't get it. Like, get where I was coming from more of a cultural standpoint.
That is a really interesting point to bring up. And kind of when Bria earlier was talking about Indigenous specific therapists, I was like, oh, it's really awesome that they have therapists for Indigenous peoples who are well-versed in the Indigenous issues, because I feel like they're so different. And I feel like the same goes for queer issues.
Yeah, exactly.
The same goes for non-binary issues. The same goes for trans. The same goes for POC. Like, I think that in an ideal world, or at least my ideal world, you could go online and be like, okay, these are the specific things that I struggle with. And this is, these are like, I can check a bunch of boxes about my identity and they can match me with someone who in theory would be a good fit because they share so many shared experiences with myself, or at least like are well-versed in talking about my experiences.
Yeah.
So I totally, that's such an interesting perspective about being an international student and needing a POC therapist, because I totally agree. My therapist is white, mm-hmm. not my UBC one, my outside one. Yeah. And like 3 years ago, I was hashtag hate crimed.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it was really scary. And ever since then, for being Asian, I guess you can't see me because I'm on air.
Oh my God, no, that's terrible. Media, I'm so sorry.
Radio, what a funny little medium. but yeah, I'm Asian, I'm Chinese, I'm very visibly Chinese. And this was like during peak COVID.
Oh my God.
A lot of anti-Asian hate. And I remember talking to my therapist about it, and he was very sympathetic at the time. And then a little while later, I was talking to him, and I was like, yeah, I'm really scared of being attacked for my race. Or like, dating is something where race is something I consider and think about. And my therapist has always been like it's not that he's being mean about it, he just doesn't get it.
Yeah, like
he's very dismissive and it's not his fault.
Classic white person.
Oh my gosh, we don't hate white people here. No, but we do them. Want you to acknowledge your privilege. but yeah, like it wasn't that he was unsympathetic, he just genuinely could not fathom it.
So, honestly, yeah, I get that. That's just, and it's just so frustrating, like, from our point of view.
Yeah, because, like, we're accessing help, and, like, this is supposed to be help, but, like, I feel like I'm just not being heard. I'm screaming into the abyss.
Honestly.
It's just so difficult. Like, my life is already hard enough.
Come on, can I at least get a therapist that understands?
Yeah, for shizzle.
I feel like for shizzle is another favorite word around here.
Absolutely. So that's another thing they need to work on, having a more diverse range of counselors and therapists that can cater to a lot of different lived experiences. And we talked about just like the sheer, very visible lack of numbers. Like UBC is a large institution. Got a lot of people. We definitely need and want more counselors, and there's definitely also a shortage right now. Like, there's no question about that. And I just feel like it's this domino effect of, okay, we need more therapists, we require more funding, we're gonna have to allocate more money towards really pushing for mental health services. And I feel like it's not the kind of thing that you can like half-ass, you know? Yeah, or maybe you could half-ass it, it just wouldn't be good. Like, I want to see some real positive change, you know? I want to see UBC be like, we're actually going to make a really serious step towards mental health for all students and make it accessible for everyone. And we're going to do that by at least having, like, I want to see some numbers, you know? I want to think, okay, what's the student body of UBC? And I want to think, like, well, not everyone is going to want slash need to access those services. But let's say realistically, half of those students will experience mental health problems in the future and want to seek a therapist. I feel like having like an arbitrary number for those, for that half population of students, is maybe the first way to start thinking about it, you know?
Yeah, definitely. I feel like they really need to implement a well thought out and researched plan.
Yeah,
because they always say like, oh yeah, we'll allocate X amount of funds. Yeah. But, like, what does that really mean? Like, what are you really going to do?
Where is this money going?
Exactly.
And I don't know. I just, like, I want UBC counselors currently to stop being so overworked by hiring other counselors. And
step one.
Step one, yeah, for sure. And that, like, but then again, like, that also comes with so many other things. Like, we're going to need bigger spaces to host sessions and, like, or maybe you could do them over Zoom. I guess that's always an option. But, like, bigger spaces and more counselors and more funding. Like, it's a large-scale project.
Yeah, but I don't know. I'm not trying to shit on UBC right now, but just thinking about the lovely rec center that they're building. And how...
Oh, my gosh.
I don't know. Maybe let's take care of the students that already exist, you know? Let's take care of our mental needs first.
Yeah, and that's just the whole, like, where is all this funding going and who decides where this funding goes? And maybe it's going to be on students like you and I to push for this.
Yeah, really got to use our voices.
Yeah, true. True. So numbers, that's one thing we were talking about. And I feel like with numbers, if numbers improved, wait time would be better. And then organization is also something that definitely can be worked on at UBC. Mental health services, just like the fact that Bria earlier was talking about how if she was told, like, oh, if you didn't respond right away, that spot would have gone right to someone else, which is like right away. Like, what is right away? Is it within 5 minutes, 10 minutes, an hour, a day, a week?
Yeah, like,
how much time am I allowed to have? What if I just am honestly a busy person? I don't know.
Yeah, like, just by nature of being at UBC, being, like, full-time students, or sometimes part-time, whatever, there's a lot going on. We don't constantly have our, like, phones next to us ready to respond to emails. Like, come on.
Truth. Truth.
It's really rough out here, not gonna lie.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's another thing. So kind of what we've covered so far is, what can they work on? Numbers. Accessibility towards the mental health services. And I just feel like there needs to be just like a one-stop shop for like Googling UBC mental health services, and not this like wellness advising center stuff. Like, I just want to see accessing mental health services at UBC, finding a therapist, go. You know, like, I don't want any of this fancy wording. It doesn't have to be fancy, because I get confused.
Yeah.
I what feel like wellness most am I seeking? I just want a therapist, dog. Yeah. So yeah. I feel like confusing wording is another thing that UBC could potentially rebrand. And like, once again, back to funding. 6 sessions for a year. And one of those sessions is like a get to know your therapist session. And what if I don't like them?
Yeah, that's like, that's nothing.
And what if UBC was negligent and put me with the wrong therapist? Like Kendra was talking about, she saw a counselor that wasn't specific to what she said she needed.
Exactly. Oh my god.
Absolutely.
No words. No words.
Yeah, I think in theory, it is a good practice. You know, like, the whole, we're going to match you with an outside therapist and provide you with money and resources to access these services. It's great, but in practice, it's not very practical. And I feel like that's something UBC needs to consider, is the actual student experience. Because the whole thing about experiencing mental health issues or mental illness, especially in such an isolating time in your life, like your early 20s, like, I don't know. It's lonely. We're figuring ourselves out. We're transitioning out of everything we've known into a whole new world. Like, having to access this whole other frustrating realm of mental health it's just disheartening. Like, honestly, there have been so many times I feel like I've been trying to figure out mental health services and just been like, this makes me want to just figure it out by myself, is not something I can do.
That's the thing. Like, for me too, like, I'm just like, okay, maybe I need a therapist. What should I do? And then the whole process is so confusing. And I'm like, you know what? Let me just do my breathing exercises. I'll be fine. No. Yeah.
But, you know, I think hopefully a few students or a few big voices will really step up and lobby for change. Like that one AMS treasurer that was running, who wanted more funding for UBC mental health. Go you. Fight the good fight. I don't know if you won or not, because I don't pay much attention to UBC politics. I don't even remember. But I hope you're still out there fighting the good fight, because we need more people with big voices to get out there and talk about it. That's kind of all the time we had for today, but thank you so much, Zade, for coming on air.
Thank you so much for having me.
It was really amazing to have my first collective member on air. You are my first. This is season 8, episode 3. You're my first. Oh my gosh.
Oh my god.
And special shout out to our collective member, Vanessa, for all of her amazing research on today's episode. We will see you next week. Bye, guys.